Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Well done. Thanks for following in from Buddhist Radio there. So nice Buddhist chanting and bells on the outro. I love that music, by the way, and it always makes my week as I'm driving into to work listening to that stuff. So welcome to Moffside, the football podcast from the south of the South Island. But having said that, we have actually got interactions with Moffside fans and viewers from as far away as Palmerston North.
And Ireland.
Hello, Fiona. Big shout out to you. And Christchurch as well. We've got some viewers up there as well. So today, back on the show, we've had games in action this week. Obviously, Jeff's going to edit out my bit of a pause there. We've had the futsal team in action and the youth team in action. The futsal team had four games, as we spoke last week with Darren and Oban. Although they only lost one game, they only won one game and drew the other two as well, so they wouldn't be too happy with that, I wouldn't have thought.
I wouldn't say so, no. Well, I suppose it's always hard, four games in such a short time. But
it's a crazy format, I think
they're still okay. Yeah. Still a bit of couple of games to play. Like, all they need to do is make top four, isn't it, to get into the semis?
Yeah, right, yeah, yeah. So pragmatically, they've still got a chance. Yeah. It's not all over. And the youth in action against Auckland City?
Yeah, tough one for them. By all accounts, didn't see the game. We were away in Christchurch. Yeah. We had a friendly ourselves, but yeah, Auckland City are always going to have a strong side.
Yeah, and as Cam says, at the youth development level, it's not really about the results. It's about progressing the players and how they develop through into the senior side. So, you know, it's good to win games in that. In the youth level, but you know, there's a bigger picture in at play, and I'm sure the Cam's not totally dejected by that result, performance, and scoreline.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a half and half. I know from dealing with Cam as well, like, it's not a case of if they lose 4-0, it's not like kind of all happy faces in the dressing room afterwards. Like, you still want to win and you still should have that need to win. But yeah, when it comes down to it, it's not the most important thing. But at the same time, you can't be laughing and enjoying it.
It can never not be.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And of course, the women's team had the bye as well. No game. We got Geordie Woodward in here today, and we got Stevie Lawless.
That's the one
as well. He's in from the men's squad. George, of course, is one of the goalkeepers in the women's team squad. Which means we've now had two goalkeepers on Moffside Series 2 because we've already had Jade on. And Stevie, you're the S&C coach.
Correct.
Yeah. How's that going?
Loving it. Yeah. Very very busy at the moment. But yeah, 2 weeks now, 2.5 weeks till pre-season finishes.
It's counting down, isn't it?
We kick off November 2nd, yeah. So it's it's most of the hard work is in the bank now, and we're just looking forward to kicking on now, especially up in Christchurch the weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah, all positive.
Yeah, that's really good. And the bye weekend for the women's players. Just ask the room now. How do you guys feel about having a bye in a season? Is that what are your reactions,
George?
I don't like them, personally.
Yeah.
I think if you look after the body well enough, get the rest in between games, and then, you know, straight back into it, I feel like bye weeks, yeah, kind of blue. It's like we were saying yesterday, literally at training, like, it feels like we haven't seen each other in weeks.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, I don't know, it just feels like you lose a little bit of
it's hard to keep the momentum.
Yeah. And last year we came... Pretty much every game we had, the team we were playing, had a week of bye, like the bye week, just before we played them, and they seemed to do really well. So I know it's kind of controversial, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's the other side. I mean, obviously, we've got an S&C coach in here as well, so yeah. I mean, you might have a different view on byes to that as a player.
Yeah, player mindset, I think it's probably one of them that if you're on a winning streak, it's like, oh, you know, 2 weeks off now, or two weeks till the next game. If you've after losing one, you're kind of like raring to go again the next week to put things right. So it's either way you look at it, from a player's point of view, it's frustrating, I think. From an S&C perspective then, I guess, it's, in one respect, nothing really changes, because come the weekend, it's going to be probably an in-house game or some sort of conditioning block to keep the bodies ticking over and stuff. And like that, if it's one of them that Leds is after playing three games on the trot and he's absolutely knackered, he can maybe strip him back and rest up so that he's fresh for the next week. But I think, yeah, players are obviously number one, so their point of view, it's not ideal having them, really.
Yeah. How do you feel, Leds, about boys?
It depends, I think, on when it happens. Like Steve, you said, if you're on a run of games, sometimes it can take the momentum out, as George said. But I think, like, so you have played, what, three games?
Four.
To play four games, like, start the season, play four games, and then have a bye, I think it's so strange. Like, for the men, sometimes they kick in around when the OFC starts, so you've already played maybe half or just over half your games.
Yeah.
And sometimes when it happens like that, it can be a bit of a weekend where it's like, oh, can actually let the hair down, like, you know, actually just park football for a weekend and get the mind fresh and stuff like that. But four games into a season is the last time, I think, personally, anyway, that you want to be having a bye.
Yeah, it just kind of feels like you just got into it and then stopped for a sudden. Like.
Yeah, and then just on your phone looking at the Twitter feeds from all the other games, wondering how the teams are going to be, you know.
Well, the weekend's results changed the table quite a bit.
Yeah.
In our league, so.
And that affects how you come into the next game?
Well, I mean, you want to win every game, but this one's kind of a must-win. Capital's creeping up behind us, and the other two have kind of taken off. So we're just kind of, we're in a good spot. I think we're in third right now, but we've got to keep that. Yeah. So coming off a bye week, it's going to be a big weekend.
Canterbury had the bye first, didn't they? They had the first round off?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's the one you want off, isn't it? You actually kind of want the first round off.
Probably best case scenario.
I'd say so.
I think it's one of them that, like, if you come back in after a bye week and you smash the team 5-0, you're saying, well, I'll tell you what, that bye week was an absolute gem.
Yeah.
Rested up there and we were raring to go. If you come away after a week off and you don't perform or you get spanked, it's one of them, oh, geez, we were in a good flow there.
You know?
So, look, it's part and parcel of the gig.
Yeah.
You know, senior players do things professionally and get on with it, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like Danny was saying, you know, like, the higher up you go in elite football, you'll get weekends off anyway, because there's, like, if you get really high, we'll have international weeks where players have, you know, time off and all that kind of stuff, while other people are on international duty and that kind of stuff. And again, higher up here, you know, like the OFC and that kind of stuff, where there are international windows and other commitments that kind of open up and force teams to literally stop. But in a competition like with the NWL, when you've only got six teams, five teams.
Oh.
Seven.
Please tell me someone knows.
Yeah, seven teams.
No, I think there's more than five.
Seven, it's seven, yeah. Yeah. It's got to be an odd number because there's a
bye. Five, what?
It's got to be an odd number because there's a bye. Southern finished fourth last season with three teams below.
Yeah.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's the quiz question for this week.
Yeah.
How many teams are in the
league?
How many teams are in the league?
Yeah, exactly. So DM me in with the answer to how many teams are there in the NWL. You've heard it earlier in the show. We're not going to say it again now, are we?
No,
but it was there earlier, so if you've been listening, you'll know the answer. You can DM me in, and you will win a free half an hour strength and conditioning session with me. Absolutely free.
What a prize that is.
Yeah, there you
put
go.
Me out of business, Jim.
I don't think so. Stevie.
Yeah.
Welcome to New Zealand, by
Thank
the way.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yep, so this is your first season with Southern United.
Correct. Yep.
Tell us a bit about yourself, Steve.
Yeah, I'm in the country 5 weeks on Tuesday, it was there now, so it's absolutely phenomenal, boy. But, obviously Irish, bit of a playing background, kind of focused, dialed into, actually went to the same college course as Leds and a lot of the lads back home when I was about 18, through to 22, whatever it was.
IT Carlo.
IT Carlo, yeah.
Shout out to IT Carlo.
Paul O'Reilly would be buzzing with that one. obviously Paul was course leader here. It was a fairly elite course for the most part, some outstanding players.
Yeah.
But alongside that, when you're studying.
And Leds.
Yeah, Leds was, obviously kind of carrying along with it. But it was one of them that you're training away, playing hard as well, but you're doing your coaching badges, you're sports management, finance, all that type of stuff. So it gives you a real good base to go and dial into something. Obviously then I was playing underage National League at home and I had some knee injury problems and stuff. Nothing major, but just tedious type stuff. So that's where I really kind of got an interest into strength and conditioning and how you look after the body and all that crack. And just had a real passion for it. And then eventually went into, dialed into that a little bit more, went on to do a master's degree. I always say that if you had asked me 3 years ago what a master's degree was, I wouldn't have been able to tell you. But went and did one anyway. So it's I feel like it stood to me tenfold. Buzzing to have it in the bag, to be honest. And then up until then, since passing that, was he lucky enough to go away to Sweden last year. And work in football over there for 6 months with Malmo FF in an academy position. Which was fantastic learning experience. Came back, worked third level, kind of multi-sports. Back home in Ireland, cricket, rugby, badminton, all sorts. Fencing. But football is where the passion is. So obviously part and parcel of that is just your life, work and life balance as well. So I'd be a big believer in going travelling and seeing as much of the world as possible. So coming out to New Zealand, naturally got in touch with the lads and stuff, and it was just one of them that actually Paul says, well, why don't you get involved with the Southern team and stuff? And obviously I've been keeping up to date with the boys and stuff,
obviously
over the last three or four seasons. They're flying now, so it was a no-brainer, get involved and try and, again, obviously there's a lot of good stuff in place, but then if we can start dripping feeding the S&C stuff to the lads and maybe even the academy and the women's teams and stuff, and push on the programme even a little bit more down the line, that'd be great. So that's kind of long story short where I am to date, but loving the challenge in place now with Southern so far.
So obviously you haven't really seen any league games yet because obviously we're like, as you say, 2 weeks away from the start of the National Men's League, but do you think there's any differences between how the game is played in New Zealand to Ireland?
Like, I mean, again, like I said, I try to keep up to date. Even back home, I remember watching, I say, the lads, the 3-0 Eastern Suburbs game last year, was it? Away from home. Just tuned in on YouTube stream and straight away, like, I remember thinking to myself, my God, Eastern Suburbs are popping it around, like, the poor fellas in the middle.
It's a good job we didn't see the one at Sunnyvale, because that was...
There's a few that stick out,
But moving on. But straight away, see, I think the thing in Ireland is, it's, you're under, I think you're in a bubble in Ireland, in Irish football, where you think, ah, this is the be-all and end-all. England is across the water, and, I played with him, he went across there, and he's making a career for himself. But Irish football falls down in a lot of different places. Even I noticed when I was in Sweden, like, the style of football, it's actual football, it's technical, and so... again, like, I won't say that I knew too much about the New Zealand game before I came over, but I've actually been fairly impressed in terms of, from what I can gather in seasons gone by, Southern might have been one of those teams. Look, we're going to be hard to break down, and if we can nick goals here and there and be tight and to concede against. But this year, I think the philosophy that Paul's trying to put in place is, let's go and have a pop at teams and be in possession for the most part. So, like, again, I've obviously... strength conditioning observation or whatever in training sessions, but I rarely see the ball go over hip height, which is encouraging.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always been Paul's philosophy, that he wants to be a possession based team. It's just, it's been how to get there in stages, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I think it's very much player led as well, to be completely honest, and that's no disrespect to anybody, but if you want to be a possession based team, you need to have players that are comfortable in possession
on the ball.
100%. But it's taken, it has taken Southern so long to become that team where, like, teams are showing up and saying, oh, here we go again, you know, they're going to be hard to break down, they're going to be in our face, they're going to be defensively perfect type thing. And as Paul said plenty of times, like, it's all well and good trying to become a possession team, but that has to be the base. So you have to have both. Like, you can't just become a possession team and then do nothing defensively. So it's about finding that balance. Like, you need to get one right before moving on to the other, I feel.
Yeah, and that's defensively first, and then
100%.
Yeah, and you'd agree with that as well, George?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've seen. I watched your first game on the turf this season
against Central.
Against Central, And I noticed you were, you know, the ball was coming back through one, and you were passing it around quite well. There's a lot of distribution coming from your feet now. So passing,
we kind of addressed the need to be able to play from the back, and I feel like not a lot of keepers are really comfortable under pressure at the back, and I mean it's not a nice position to be in, but
yeah.
I think it's important, and we scored a few goals from it, like leading up from the back, and I think position's definitely one of the most important parts.
Yeah.
For anyone, any position.
And it's nice being on that surface at Logan Park as well.
Oh, it's nice.
I was about to say,
so
yeah.
much
yeah.
nicer.
It's, I mean, you can't play football on that then.
Yeah.
You know, something wrong there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm struggling with my right foot now, time to time. Yeah.
And also, inversely, if you come there trying to play a version of unfootball, like just trying to disrupt people, because it's so wide, you just run yourself into the ground trying to do that.
Yeah, big time, yeah. That'll be interesting to see how to... Because we haven't really... None of the teams have had a proper home ground since I've been here anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's always shopping and changing, so... opportunity there to make it a bit of a fortress and make it a place that hopefully teams will fear coming down, you know.
Yeah. So you've got a friendly coming up this weekend, is that right?
Yeah.
In Christchurch at English Park, presumably.
English Park, yeah.
Yeah.
No, we're in Timaru this weekend.
Oh, Timaru.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. So we're in English Park last
weekend.
Oh,
yeah. Right, yeah.
Okay.
Hadn't gone there for a second.
Yeah, he's still new to it.
I don't
give him time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Timaru. Out in two, isn't it?
Yeah, in Timaru. Yeah. So halfway between here and Christchurch.
Yeah. Who are we playing?
We're playing Christchurch this weekend.
Canterbury now.
Yeah. We played Tasman.
Yeah.
The weekend just gone.
They came all the way down. Yeah.
Yeah.
How did that go?
It was good. Just good, I'd say. It was, you know, yeah, first pre-season game, everyone's a bit rusty. I think Stevie might elaborate a little bit, but it's all about getting minutes under the belt.
Chop me in under there. No, I think it was actually, to be fair, I think at the time it was one of them, we coming away, I'm thinking, a bit frustrating, but I think all in all, in hindsight, look, it is a pre-season friendly. I think from Paul's view, it was kind of, look, we only have two or three cracks of the whip before the league kicks off, so we want to try and hit the ground running. But like that, even, and look, there's two teams involved, but even from the point of view, the surface was a bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
But look, I think it was, again, more match minutes in underneath the belt. Didn't lose, went one up. I think to be fair, from a results point of view, I think it was probably the best result we could have got, a draw, after going one up, because it was a bit one of those that, all right, we've not lost and got shown up, but it was one of those that it highlights that we're going in the right direction with the playing style, but we've still got work to do.
Bit of tweaking to do.
There's always work to do anyway. Yeah. So it was a good little reminder, I think, for the group. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, and the women's team against Capital this weekend. At home, which is great.
Yeah.
Capital, obviously, this season, perhaps not where they were last year. I mean, they're obviously missing Gregor, aren't they?
They are missing Gregor. I think they'll definitely feel that loss. But they've also got a couple of players in that, you know, used to be there and then left and played overseas. So they've got a couple of quality players. So I think they're definitely a team that we need to go in hard against. Like, it's not going to be an easy game. In the National Women's League, everyone's fairly, even to an extent, like, every game is a hard game. I mean, obviously, the North Island, kind of Auckland and Northern and even Canterbury, they do dominate, and they have in the last few years. But I don't think you can really underestimate any team in our league.
Yeah.
Like, every game is a hard one.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. So, couple of standout players so far for me that I've been watching coming from your squad this season. This season, they've been the two players up top, Amy, and that's my phone.
It's a fine
rule number one, Stu. Come on, mate.
Rule number one. That's a fine. Amy and Ruby are forming a nice little partnership up top, aren't they? I mean, that's looking really exciting. It's actually really good football to watch as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They're hard to stop in training. Tell you that.
Are they? Yeah.
Combined age of about 12 as well, haven't they? What age are both of them?
They're combined ages, definitely.
They're both still in high school, I think.
One's just 19,
and
the other one is 15.
Either way, they're both younger than me.
Yeah.
17.
Yeah.
18 and 17, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're very young.
They're very young.
Yeah.
But, you know, still dynamic and, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Amy, of course, lives in Queenstown, so she has to travel down for training sessions.
She drives up for one training a week, and then obviously he comes up for the games.
Flies, well, it's obviously working, so let her do whatever she wants.
Well, yeah.
Just meet you at the game.
You're on. She's got a twin sister, wasn't she, Amy?
Oh.
Who I believe also plays football but has decided not to play football for now. Yeah. So maybe we'll come back to that and see how
exclusive there, sure.
Yeah, it is an exclusive. Okay, so Leds,
yes.
Are you ready for one of two things? Oh, medium fire round.
Finally. Been waiting for a week since I didn't get to do it last week, but...
Yeah, right, apologies, viewers. I'm especially sorry there to Fiona.
Yeah, sorry, Matt. Right, so I have questions for both of you. They'll both kind of be tweaked a little bit, but we'll bash on. So, Stevie first. If you could clone one player in the Southern United men's squad, who would it be?
Oh, tell you what. It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah, there's only one of us sitting in this room.
Just Danny Ledwick, body of a god. From any in particular aspect, no?
Just say you're Paul O'Reilly and you want an extra one of the players that you already has. Who are you picking?
Technician Danny Ledwick.
Yeah?
Give you that one.
We didn't actually plan that before.
Buy me a flat white later, but right.
George, kind of similar question. If you could take one of the men players... and play for the women for the rest of the season, who would it be?
One of the men's players to play for the... Oh, God.
You can say me as well.
Liam Little.
Well, probably, because the goalkeeper cohort's a little bit damaged. I'm out for the season. I think she's all right now, but she was having a little bit of shin splints going on.
And Sammy Richards as well.
And, yeah, she's got something going on. So probably, I'm going to choose Liam just because we're a little bit broken at the moment.
I'd
choose you as well.
Thanks.
I'd answer Lastie on both those fronts.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'd clone Lastie and then put the clone of Lastie in the list.
All right, next question. So, I'll ask George first. What's your biggest pet peeve as a player that coaches do during a session?
Coaches?
Yeah.
Oh. From a goalkeeper's perspective?
Yeah.
Get your name wrong.
I think every goalkeeper will agree when they just kind of like set up their drills right by our box, and so we have their balls flying at us when we're trying to make our own saves, or players are running through our drills, and I think that's one of our biggest pet peeves. No, I'm going to be honest.
Stevie, same question from a coach's point of view. So when you're doing your prehab and that. Could be here all day. Here.
Have a look. See, yeah. I just hate, right? I understand having conversations and, look, a bit buzz around the group. But see when we're doing an exercise.
Get really
what was the one there that, remember, 2 weeks into pre-season, right? We have a few of the youth lads in as well. Plugging the youth name. But, so we had about 22 players in doing a prehab, and I'm like, it's one of them that, right, this is going to be a circuit. Look into the exercises. I've looked around, and Liam Little is having a conversation, and I'm having a laugh with Joel. I've just turned around. Liam, any chance? I've lost the head, haven't I?
He has.
Yeah, probably that.
So not listening.
Chit chat. Yeah. Not listening. Yeah. Tune in.
Interesting.
Liam Little again.
Yeah,
guilty.
Yeah. A few mentions today. Right, next one, Stevie. What's the best bit of advice you've ever received as a player or a coach? You can decide.
Tell you what, Les, you're on the excellent question on the ball today, mate.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get to do it last week.
Best piece of advice. caught me on my toes here, but I'll say something that Paul said to me a few weeks back, and I'd be a big believer in as well. In anything you do, whether it's, okay, this is going to be a light recovery session today, or poor, there's a 2-hour strength session, just do everything with intent and intensity, the correct intensity to go and better yourself as a player or a coach.
Wow. Love it. Paul O'Reilly.
That's deep, isn't it?
Nice. George, same question as a player.
Bit of advice.
Don't let the ball go past you.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know. I'd say I can't think of one for playing, but one that's kind of stuck out recently and is kind of relevant for me, and I'm sure anyone that's ever been injured, is to, I guess, not see it as a setback, but as a way to kind of go drip back to the drawing board and take a step back and just think, like, what can I do now? Like, I've got this time to recover. Like, what can I do to make sure that when I do come back, you know, I'm ready and I'm stronger than I was before, really.
It's a good one, that, for injured players. Pretty good. Stu?
Probably when Paul O'Reilly said last year that, you know, that podcast is going all right, why didn't you we should look into doing that more.
Two shows for Paul there.
Yeah.
Right, and last question. Now, George, this might be a bit different for you because I'm not actually 100% sure what age you are, but I'm not going to ask you live on air. But if you could rewind to 18.
I'm over 18, don't I?
Yeah. If you could rewind to 18, what would you do differently? If anything,
I would not be so hard on myself in terms of, like, being really disappointed and not making squads, not making teams, because at that point I was only the, like, backup keeper, and fast forward, like, 3 years later, and it's like, oh, you know, you've played overseas, you've played starting in the net, like, you've kind of achieved the things you wanted to achieve, and so just, I guess, so
not don't be too hard on yourself.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Stevie?
Tough one, lads. Yeah, I think it's one of those, like, this is from my playing career, right, so, well, I wouldn't even call it a career, but it's one of them that, you know, like, football is so up and down that you can have bad days, like, you're like, oh, lost the final there, but just really go and enjoy the good ones, like, even if it's just a basic 3 points anywhere in the season, you're mid-table, whatever, you just come away, you've had to put in the hard work for the week or whatever, and you know yourself, there's nothing like a fun, buzzy dressing room after a win, like, you know, go out maybe a couple of points or whatever, but it's just take it in your stride and enjoy every moment of it, like, because, like, that's something that I've kind of looked at the last year to a year and a half or whatever from a playing point of view, is that you're not going to have it forever, so you might as well enjoy all those moments where you can.
Yeah,
Les is going to play till 40 anyway, so he's a few more years, isn't he?
Yeah, a few more years. Well, and Les, you,
what same question,
yeah, what would you give your 18 year old self advice?
Get into the gym.
It's a really tough question. Yeah. Genuinely though, so, like, body wise, like, I started playing senior football at 18, 19, and I just kind of took the stuff that Stevie's focused on this year, just completely took it for granted. And I literally spent maybe 3 or 4 years of probably the most important part of my career just riddled with injuries. Never really took it serious. I just thought an injury was the fact that you get injured and then eventually you're okay to come back and you're starting fresh, which is 100% not the case.
Yeah.
So the last kind of, since I've came here maybe a year before, I've, like, Stevie will tell you, like, first in to training, I need to do probably 25 minutes.
First
in, last out. Probably 25 minutes to myself just to make sure I'm ready. Because, listen, I'm not getting any younger and the body needs that extra work now, but yeah, if I had started a long, long time ago, maybe I'd be a bit faster, and, you know, never know what could have happened. So
what's the famous saying, Lids? If you use this,
that's it. If you use your head, you don't need to use your feet.
Yeah,
I'm getting that every training session.
that gets true though. The older you get, like, the more you use your head, the less you have to actually.
Absolutely, like we spoke about, was it Jake Butler last week?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, Jake Butler's not covering 10k a game, like, but he's still standing out. So.
Yeah. You know. Perfect. Okay, well, it's time for the show now then to get you singing Celtic Symphony. So
just let me get ready here.
Yeah, hang on. Sorry, Jeff's waving at me.
Shout out, Jeff.
And no, that's the. Haven't got time. Fiona, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it there.
Next week, maybe.
Definitely, we're going to have Leds singing Celtic Symphony. So that's all we've got time for. You've been listening to Moffside. I'm Stuart Moffat. I've got Geordie Woodward, Stevie Lawless. We've got Holly over there on the cameras. Hi, Holly, how are you? And I've been joined by, as always, Leds. See you next week. Bye.
Take RFM Dunedin with you wherever you go, with podcasts and live streaming of Primo local content. Download the Access Internet Radio app for free from Google Play and the Apple App Store.
This programme was first broadcast on RFM Dunedin and made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.